10.
Quarter over 10.
Yaron.
Shalom. We're in Se'if Bet, that's chapter 2 of the Rav Kook's commentary in Bameh Madlikim, on the second chapter of Masechet Shabbat, on the Agadata, the stories of the Gemara. And the Gemara here, Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph 21a, reads as follows. If you remember last time we saw about the Kikayon, what is Shemen Kik? We saw different opinions of what is Shemen Kik. And the last opinion is, Reish Lakish Amar Kikayon Diyona, that this is the plant that Jonah, at the end of the book of Yonah, talks about, right, that is there, gives him shade, and then wilts, and he's upset. Amar Abba Bar Chana, Lididi Chazili Kikayon Diyona, Litzluliva Dami, I myself saw the plant which gave shade to Yonah, and it's like a tzluliva. And obviously the question is, who cares? The Gemara is not a history book. The Tanakh is not a history book. Why does it tell us, Bichlal, what kind of plant it was that was giving him shade? And why does the Gemara here spend the time and the effort into telling us what kind of tzluliva plant this is?
And how could he see it? Because it wilted the same day.
Right, that's why I said the type of plant, not the plant.
But it says
Umitbaski Rabbi Va'alpum Chanavta Midlan Yati. And Rashi says, "Umidupaski Rabbi, bebitze yamayim hu gadil." It grows in the swamps. Ve alpum chanavta midlan yati, and they hang it in the stores. Rashi explains, "Ve alpia chanuyot midalinoto letzel ulereach tov," to give shade and to give a nice fragrance to those who come to shop in your store. Umipertzidohi, and from its seeds, avdi mashcha. You make oil from its seeds. You grind them. Like last week, we saw that there's cottonseed oil. You can make oil out of the. That's what we're talking about, shemen kik, right? That is not good for lighting Nerot Shabbat, the Shabbos candles. And so this is the oil. Where do you get the oil from in this plant? From the seeds. Uva'anpoi naichan kol brichi de ma'arava. Rashi explains that shochvin brichi cholin, that the sick of Eretz Yisrael enjoy her shade. Rav Kook explains the philosophic and symbolic explanation of all of these different details. Hatzlacha hazot shila osher ha'overet. ואינה מתקיימת כלל, כי כיקיון הזה העמיד פה במחזה את תכונתה, תעודתה בכלל, ואופן השימוש הראוי להשתמש בה. That's our topic for today, how to use wealth. Money. We all know that money is a very strong yetzer, a very strong desire. A lot of people spend more time, probably most people, most men, invest more time and effort in their money, in their jobs, than any other single topic on a daily basis. Okay, so the question is, what should we do with our wealth? Now, just the background, Rav Kook is referring to here to what we learned last week. If you remember in the last Piska, he spoke about the wealth and the problem that people go after superficial happiness. If you remember, we spoke about, Rav Kook talks about three types of superficial happiness. The happiness from far away, right? People who look for happiness outside of their home or outside of their surroundings. The grass is always greener on the other side. The second type is superficial happiness, which is counterfeit happiness, that it looks legit on the outside. And the third type of happiness was the get-rich-quick happiness. The instead of working hard, sweating, making a living, that type of easy come, easy go happiness, those are the three types of wealth that we're talking about last week. That's the symbolism of the oil, of the kikayon. Those who didn't hear can get filled in last week's year. That was Se'if Aleph. So again, Hatzlacha Hazot, this success of temporary wealth, Ve'inamit Kayemet Klal, like this Kikayon, which Yonah had, gave him pleasure, and then it wilted very quickly. He'mid po, that's really the happiness of wealth, something that it's temporal, here today, gone tomorrow. And here the Gemara talks about the tchuna of that type of wealth, the, how would you say tchuna?
Characteristics.
The characteristics of that wealth. Te'udata, its goal, and hashimush hara'ui, and the proper way to use it, practical application of wealth. V'nei reshit hatziur tzarich liyot etzel kol ish hashoef la'osher. The beginning of any topic, and our topic here is one who's striving for wealth. Ki lo yiga kol adam b'ma shemuchan l'chavero afilu kim lo nima. Rav Kook mentions the Gemara here in Masechet Yoma that says that every person has to know that you don't have an ice cube's chance in hell of getting anything that belongs to your friend. God gives each person exactly that which he wants them to have. And if you work hard, all you're going to get is the amount that Mizonotav Shel Adam Ktzuvin Lo Mirosh Hashanah Ad Rosh Hashanah. As the Gemara says, a person's livelihood is decided how much he's going to make from Rosh Hashanah to next year. So number one is you won't succeed by overworking. A lot of people are workaholics, and it maybe sometimes it's a psychological problem. Maybe people don't have that much meaning in their family or other things. But I imagine most workaholics, it starts with the fact that they just want to earn, or they need to earn more and more and more money. Mm-hmm. And Rav Kook is saying here that you're not going to get more than
what
you're supposed to get.
But it's the reverse, we do say is true, that if you you can't just stay in bed all day and the money will just come in, whatever was given to you, Rosh Hashanah. You have to do something. You have to do
obviously.
Okay, so it could be that your taktziv that you were given at Rosh Hashanah was dependent on you working really hard.
Of course,
working overtime, etc., because that's what you're required to do.
Oh, so here we get into the question of hishtadlut and bitachon, how much effort we have to put in, and how much to leave up to God. And basically, the answer is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch gives us a lot of obligations that we have to do. Right? The framework of a Jew is that he has to daven three times a day with a minyan. You know, obviously, if here and there, he can't make it, or if the economic situation is so difficult and the only place he can find work is if he wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and obviously that's the yotze min haklal, right? But in a normal situation, a person should base his weekly schedule on learning Torah every day, learning Musar every day, doing Chesed every day, being with his family every day, working for a living every day. These are the normal. That's
most of human history. People work like dogs.
Yeah. And thank God, I remember an article in Time magazine when I was a kid, it must be in the 70s, that said that by the year 2000, I remember because that was everyone's talking about the year 2000, by the year 2000, the workday will be down to 6 hours a day.
Jesus.
Right? From 8 hours a day to 6 hours a day. And
well, now with help from Obama, people are going to be working 30-hour work weeks because they're
sure.
Okay.
Kill the politics.
Okay. What happened? We all know what happens. The standard of living rises. Everyone has cell phones. Everyone has computers. And, is very fine. But people want more. And we may have been able to mistapek, to make do with those 6 hours which they were talking about. Nevertheless, Yesh lo mea, rotze mataim, mataim, arbamot. A person has 100, he wants 200, and chen hala. But in general, it's a good question, and the balance, the delicate balance between doing the ishtadlut and to rely on God, it's a delicate question, and both are true. You have to take both into account.
The reverse is true of the expectations from the 70s. Actually, people work longer and more hours today than they ever did before, partly because of the technological advance, is that people expect responses much faster. So people,
uh-huh.
Right.
I don't know whatever did before.
No, it's okay. It's only did in the
The entire computers changed the entire world. Email, everything.
We used to work regular hours.
Alken, lo yishlach yado ba'avlato ki lo yatzliach. That's point number one. Point number one is, even if you want wealth, don't think that you're going to make even one penny that belongs to somebody else. Ba'asher tu'udat ha'atzlacha hazot u'tchunata, hi she'tamod b'gvula l'fi chug ha'tzedek v'ayosher she'yagia la'adam mi'berkat Hashem alav. When God decides through the cheshbon of justice and righteousness and reward and punishment and what's good for you and how you're going to use your money, and if you remember this all the time, that will keep you honest, right? It's not worth it to steal from someone or to cheat someone because the money's not going to stay by you anyway. Okay, and this is an important ethical point. Aval, lashkit et ruchu ha-soer la'amo la'sig osher rav. In addition to this, you also have to have another picture which accompanies you. God gives you that which is good for you. Right? If the previous sentence talks about that you won't get anything which is meant for your brother, here the stress is you get exactly that which is good for you. And by the way, we're not talking here about the number of shkalim or agurot. Very often a person could get a significant raise on salary, but then he realizes, you know, that he's, they raise taxes, or that his son needs orthodontia work, you know, or, you know, teeth, that's always a big way, chas v'shalom, sickness, medicine, parents, you know, there's
The promotion means he'll have to spend hours in meetings and he'll get home 2 hours later.
Life is very complex, and we're not only talking about that you're not going to get a raise. Very often people do get a raise. Nevertheless, in the bottom line, it comes out, the cheshbon might even come out less than it would have otherwise. Shav lechem mashkim meikum me'acharei shevet. Right? Rav Kook has an interesting take on this pasuk in Tehillim, which says it's chaval to wake up so much earlier because you're not going to gain too much from it. Va'trada yetera lo tosif al makor, and that extra sweat, the extra effort, isn't going to add on to your source of income. Shekvar mugbal umitzumtzam mipnei sheyesh lechol osher prati tu'uda v'tachlit kafi midato. Every shekel has an address, and it gets to that address, and that's anybody who believes in God, who runs the world, takes that into account, or should keep that in mind. Omnam, ma shenogeh letachlit ha'osher bichlal. Here, Rav Kook is moving on to the next topic. Okay, what is the goal of wealth? Right? Till now, we said, don't overdo it. Don't get fixated on wealth. Don't run after it, because you're not going to get it. Whether it belongs to somebody else, whether it's because it's not for your good. But here, the new point is, okay, so what is the goal of wealth? Right, Hari, we've spoken before that Judaism says that nothing is bad. God doesn't make mistakes. God is good, and everything that He created is good. And the idea of the Catholic oaths of poverty, celibacy, and obedience, we're not into that. We don't say that you should take an oath of poverty, that there's an ideal in being poor. So if so, where is this yetzer, this instinct to want more money, how should that be directed? Ra'ui ledat ki enenu tachlit la'atzmo. Wealth is not a goal in unto itself. It's a means. Chirak emtsa'i hu l'archiv al yado tov v'chesed kifi berkat Hashem alav. It's a goal that will enable you to do favors and goodness to people, and we'll see a lot of examples that Rav Kook is going to give based on the symbolism of this Gemara, that a lot of people can't do. Right? If you don't have the means, you don't have the money, there's just so much tzedakah or charity that you can give. Biyoto makir ha'osher b'tur emtsa'i lagdil tov utzdaka. Right? That's the goal of wealth. To do goodness, to do charity. Ra'uishu, by the way, tzedakah literally means justice. right? Charity and justice go together, right? It's something that you have to do. It's just to help other people, the needy people.
It's a fundraiser as well.
Yeah, it is. This is a fundraiser's Dvar Torah for all the fundraisers.
No. Yeah, I grew up with Ra'uy hu shegam hu yehneh
bo b'mishpat. Shegam hu yehneh bo b'mishpat. Listen to this. This is an interesting chidush. That a person should get pleasure out of the help that he gives to others. There's wealth brings happiness, Rav Kook is saying, but not out of having money in your pocket, not out of buying more steak, but that it enables you to get sipuk, satisfaction, and to do justice. All right, there's a beautiful term. Ra'uy shegamhu yehenebo b'mishpat. You get pleasure in that wealth in helping other people. Aval chalila lo milishkoch tudato b'tor emtza'i larbot al yado kinyano b'tzedakah u'masim tovim. Chas v'shalom. Most people misuse money, and they think that it's really meant for their personal pleasure. And it's really a different mindset that Rav Kook is saying. There's nothing wrong with wanting to amass wealth. Question is what you do with it. And by the way, I don't know, I never checked out wealthy people, but I don't imagine that there are too many wealthy people, even who are multi-millionaires. It's interesting, the Rush talks about taknat usha. The Gemara says that a person isn't allowed to give more than 20%. You should give 10% of your income to tzedakah. You're not allowed to give more than 20%. Then Rabbeinu Asher, the Rush, adds, unless you're so comfortable wealthy, right, if you're making millions, so obviously you can give 50%, 60%, even 90% probably to other people, and you're not going to be lacking anything. Yeah. Okay? And
how much was my charity? 99%?
Tchunat ha-tzedakah ha-ru'uya l'gdolei ha-osher tzricha shetitpashet. By the way, as Rav Kook goes on, if you want to try and take an educated guess how he's going to tie each se'ifin with the symbolism in the Gemara, you guys are already a little experienced, you can try and see where he's going. Tchunat ha-tzedakah ha-ru'uya l'gdolei ha-osher tzricha shetitpashet l'tovat kol niksha umar nefesh. The idea of tzedakah, which is worthy for those who are wealthy, is that they should spread the goodness to all those individuals. Notice Rav Kook starts out with the individuals, those who are mar nefesh. They have a bitter life. Aval inyana yesodi shela tzarich sheyeh mimena totzao litovat klal ha'uma. That's number two. And this is an important dafka. Hurricane Sandy brings up this issue. Somebody sent me a link that Mordechai Ben David, the singer, Mordechai Werdiger, that his house in Brooklyn was destroyed and that he's making aliyah.
Oh, yeah?
And I imagine he's not the only one. I have no doubt that that a lot of people who had been thinking, you know, of moving, or building in Israel, or buying in Israel, once their home is destroyed,
may as well.
You may as well, right? You have to rebuild anyway, and we were planning on doing it anyway. And it also is nogea to something that we spoke about once, about the problem, you mentioned fundraising in America, that I spoke about this recently with Tzvika and the Malkalim of the yeshiva here, that it's very difficult today to turn to Orthodox people. And ironically,
they don't have any money, they're spending it on their kids' tuition.
Right. It's all going on their children's tuition to yeshiva day school education. And even that which isn't, somebody, Baruch Hashem, was doing a little better. He doesn't have problems. He's helping give scholarships for the guy next to him. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, it used to be that families had two children per family. Today, a lot of Orthodox families have three, four children. And all of a sudden, the economy isn't what it used to be. And the question is, how much should the donors dedicate to building the Jewish day schools and yeshivot and shuls in America as opposed to giving the money to Israel? And here Rav Kook
is... The schools are fancier than they need to be.
Rav Kook here is relating to that issue, that there is the cheshbon of the individual Jew, but even more important is the Jewish nation, the needs of the Jewish nation, which is long-term tzedakah. Rav Avadi Yosef, for example, in a famous quote, he mentioned it in his shiur in Mosad Rav Kook in Torah Shebaal Peh, Chelek Yud Aleph, must be 30 years ago, that it's very important to give money to yeshivas abroad. But to build a yeshiva, to build a shul in America, he said, is like building a palace on ice. That is just a matter of time before it melts, and it's temporary. And once you're giving money, why not give it to the land of Israel, to where the future of the Jewish people is going to be eternal? So, obviously, every case is a little different. And there are also halachot. Maybe if we have time, we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch. Right? But the basic question, okay, of the needs of the individual, when I always say tzedakah and wealthy people helping the poor, we immediately think of the poor individuals. And it even sometimes hurts us when we see people giving, you know, to the land of Israel, or Libi, you know, or the army, or JNF, and what, planting trees in Israel is more important than, you know, there are poor people who don't have food in their table. And Rav Kook is saying it's not so simple. Because, yes, the individual, that's the first thought when it comes to charity, but also the needs of the nation is no less important. And in the long run, even more important.
Quick question. Can I ask a question on that?
Yeah.
We say, you know, Anshei Yiro Kodesh. So if someone lives in Chutz Laaretz,
we'll see the Dirug of the Shulchan Aruch. Hatzara Yoter Ikari. By the way, I won't forget to mention, if you remember, Rav Kook has one of his famous sayings is, HaBdiyavad Shel HaAdam Walechatchila Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That what's B'di'evid, what's, how do you say B'di'evid?
After the fact
of man is part of God's plan milchatchila. In the beginning. And ironically, 94% of the Jews in America are not Orthodox. And they really couldn't care less what's written in the Shulchan Aruch. They don't look at the halachic levels. And those, many of them, they don't ask their rabbi, conservative Jews, reform Jews, they don't ask their
rabbi at all,
how they should spend their money or give their charity. And I think the state of Israel, in the end, benefits from it. Mm-hmm. Because Orthodox people give very little, comparatively, to the general causes. Mm-hmm. They give to the shul, they give for their aliyah, they give to the yard site, they give to their day school, they give to the scholarship fund, and everything is pretty mikomi.
But in this generation, the non-religious Jews are giving to much more to non-Jewish causes.
Right. Well, that's obviously a problem, that the fact that Jews should, first of all, be giving to Jewish causes. That's obvious.
It's amazing they're giving at all.
Yeah. So Rav Kook continues. So that's, we spoke about what should you be doing with wealth. Having pleasure. Well, what is the pleasure? Not buying steak, not building a big house, but helping the individual and the nation. Hatsana yoter ikari tzarich sheyeh haramat haTorah. Now, when we talk about helping the nation, building Torah institutions, salaries, supporting Torah, helping people publish sfarim, etc., Jewish books, Or ha'uma, that is the light of the nation of Israel. Am Hashem Ele, this is God's nation, and ein umatenu uma el b'torata, right? As Rav Sadia Gaon says, the nation of Israel is a nation through our Torah, v'kiyuma haruchani, and our spiritual kiyum. How do you say
existence?
V'yishlach gam ken pe'irot l'archiv tzidkato b'iskei ha'uma haklalim ha'chomriim. And not only that, you should send your branches, here you can already smell where he's going with the symbolism of the kikayon tree, right, giving tzil, giving shade, also to the Torah, and also to national, physical national institutions. If you remember, we spoke about 2 years ago, where Rav Kook even spoke about the need for art museums. And culture, you can't have a modern nation without art museums. So if you would ask individually, is it more important that Yankel Shmerel has food, what to eat, or that there be an art museum in Jerusalem, obviously that Yonkel Shmeros will have food, what to eat, right? On the other hand, when you have a nation, these cheshbonot are not simplistic. And by the way, even when we see the Shulchan Aruch and the dirug, the pyramid of what to get, what's first priority, second priority, when it comes to a nation, the cheshbonot are much different. Because when we're talking about a nation, again, you need an army, which is billions, right? You need the apparatus of how to collect taxes, how to state hospitals, museums, culture, right, sports teams. There's a lot of things that the Shulchan Aruch of the individual, halacha lemasa, and that was the beauty, by the way, of Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog is the first chief rabbi. When the state of Israel was founded, he dealt a lot with these national questions where, for example, pikuach nefesh of the klal, national security, is much different than the pikuach nefesh of the individual. Okay, you're not allowed to give your life to save another individual, but not, you are allowed, and you're even obligated to give your life to save the nation. Right? So there are a lot of differences here. Anyway, right? That even the physical needs of the nation of Israel, v'atzana tovu shiyagiv l'makom shetikabel klal ha'uma mehem koach va'oz, that the nation of Israel shall get strength and bravery through your wealth. L'didi chazili ki kayon diona. Now Rav Kook is tying it in, stage by stage, with the Gemara. Who is it? Rish Lakish said, I personally saw this ki kayon of Yonah, of Jonah.
Rabba Chana.
Whoever it was. Tziartiv b'chol tzadav, echu tzarich liyot yadua b'lev ba'alav. L'man yeh be'emet al yado mutzlach la'ad, velo yasofo rak mapach nefesh. Okay? He said, I myself saw this kikayon of Yonah. Why does he mention the kikayon of Yonah? That it wilted very quickly. Wealth is something that wilts very quickly. Even somebody who has it, that doesn't mean you're going to have it next year or 10 years from now. Okay? And this is also a message that if you have the wealth, don't say, well, when I get to be a millionaire, that's when I'll start giving it out. When I get to be at 10 million, that's when I'll start building buildings or things like that. You don't know if you're going to have it. And get the pleasure now. Again, what does it mean, get the pleasure?
Give it away.
Not the stakes. Give it away before you lose it.
Rabbi Baba Chana often says that the chazina, and here I think he means, I've experienced the phenomenon.
Maybe. Okay, hayadia pshuta kodemet lechol tzricha liyot dilitzluliva dami, tzluliva nireshu ilana tzlaf kmo tzluliva. Here Rav Kook deals with, what is this idea of identifying this plant? Why is it so important? What's the symbolism? V'nidvasfu kfilut otiyot kederach lashon aramit, etronga ginunita uchiyotza bazeh. Rav Kook is suggesting that the tzluliva plant is really the tzlaf, or tzlulifa. Bon tichem Yoshua liYisrael et haaretz. The Gemara tells us that Yoshua ben Nun planted these tzlafim.
Caper
bushes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it's translated.
It's famous in Brachot because it has all those different parts.
To set the borders between the different shvatim, between the different tribes of Eretz Yisrael, that these are bushes that stay for a long time. You can't just pick them up and move the border. Vehu miket mikta raglehon dereshi masigei gvul, komar hu shomeret chumo veino nichnas legvul chavero. The idea, here the symbolism is very clear. What's the idea of these caper bushes? That they prevent you from taking away land from your neighbor, right? Moving the border between you. And here, it's very clear, Rav Kook is referring to that which he said before. The first thing when it comes to wealth is that which is coming to you, you're going to get it. That which is coming to your friend, don't think that you can move the border, right? It's not going to come to you anyway. So that's the symbolism of this tzlulifa plant. Hatzlacha zot hamedume shela osher domelo bezeh. Right, the idea of the wealth and success is similar. She'en leicholet livloa klau velinak et alishad ashayach al pi darkei hashgacha elyonah lechavero. Just like if you remember, when Shimi ben Gera comes and he curses David HaMelech, What does David HaMelech say when Yoav wants to kill him? He says, leave him, he's a messenger from God. When something good or when something bad happens, it's all a message, a messenger from God. The same thing with money. If something good or something bad happens, it's meant to you directly from heaven. You can't move the border even if you try. That's the tzlulifa plant. But regarding the person individually, midapaski rabi, the Gemara says that it grows, this plant grows by swamps. Lo nachal she'in lo sof yishalach shorshav. It doesn't grow by rivers that have endless amounts of water. She'yuchal la'amitz chayil livloa harbe be'en ketzev, that you could just swallow up more and more and more water. That's not the wealth that... That's not the wealth in this world. Ki im yenikato metzuntzemet ketzintzum bitzei amayim she'inam novim. Like the swamp, whose source of water, his resources are limited, so too your wealth is limited. By how much Hashem wants to give you. Klomar kefi hachok anikzav asher alav en lo osif. Al ken ishtadlut yetera enena meviyah larbot hom. Like we said before, even if you wake up that much earlier or invest that much more hours in work, you're not going to become more wealthy. Umashino gale tuudato, those are the first 2 points. Regarding what is the goal of wealth, why did God invent wealth, what should we do if by chance we come across wealth? Alpum chanavta midlan yati. What is the purpose of this kikayon plant? It's good to hang and give shade and fragrance over your shop. Hamikashet et chanuto en kavanato ki im kedei sheyavo l'toch hakonim v'timacher schorato biyoter. The idea of giving shade and fragrance is to attract people into your shop so that you can sell that much more. Hare eino hu larbot scharo ve'adnano lo hakishuta atzmi. In general, when a shop owner does this, his goal is to add that much more money to himself, to attract more buyers, attract more business. Kena osher nitan la adam ra'ui lo shiyirbe kinyano al yado, yirbe tzedaka v'yase tov kefi hasagat yado. This is a beautiful perush. Rav Kook is saying, even though when a shop owner plants the shade and fragrance to attract people, to make it pleasant in his shop, he thinks that the goal is to bring more money to himself. I mean, we already said in the first 2 points that that's not going to work. So if so, in the end, the goal of that air conditioner that you buy in your shop is to make Jews happy. It's an interesting, very interesting way of looking at it. And that is the pleasure that can come out of wealth. V'chasher yishtamesh bo b'tor emtsa'i k'kishut ze sha'alpum chanuta yavol le'tu'udat oshro. That's how you use wealth for its intended purpose. V'chasher ha'davar ha'me'aneh ha'nitan alpum chanuta yodea achen v'ani k'kafi asher yirbu l'ashevet b'tzilo ken tarev atzlachato. Inevitably, you will profit more. Because it's just a very simple cheshbon. If it's worth it, as if it were for God to give you money, why? Because you're using it to help other people. He'll probably give you more, because he likes the people of Israel, and he wants to make as many children of his happy. Ken tzarich liyot mushrash bilvavo shel adam shemekor hatzlachato hakayemet tiyeh lefi marbit haneanim hatzlachato hazmanit. The idea of wealth is to benefit as many people as possible. And you know, when Rav Kook says these things, it's just so logical. You know, I never thought of it before. You know, if you can make 1 million Jews happy, why keep it all to yourself? Whereas the goal of wealth is happiness. And okay, yeah, kadima, you know, make people happy. V'na'ato ha'pratit tiyeh tfila ke'ota hana'a shel bala chanut mikishut chanuto shemutaret befrachim yafim. Right, just like this plant gives nice fragrance, gives nice flowers, that's a side effect. That's a side benefit. Umipartziduhi, from the seeds of the kikayon plant, you can make oil. Me'atzada ikari v'amerkazi sheba'osher, right, the seed represents the center, the core of wealth. Kach ra'oi liyot avdin mashcha, to make oil. Lo tzi al yada shmana shel Torah. Torah is likened to oil, as we've said in the past. The menorah represents or, ner mitzvah v'torah or, the idea of light. Rotze lachkim yadrim, should face the menorah. Lichazek et ha'uma bichlala b'matzava ruchani al yedei achzakat ha'torah lafitz ora al pi tevel, to help support Torah learners, Torah institutions, shul, synagogues, all of these. Like you said, there's a good fundraisers, Dvar Torah, because that is what wealth is for, to help other people. And the core of helping the nation of Israel is through helping Torah. Ube'anfohi, and its branches, naichem kol bricha d'ma'arava. All of the sick people of Eretz Yisrael enjoy the pleasure of the shade of the kikayon tree. Eretz Yisrael hi merkaz ha'uma gam bimei galutenu upizureinu. Eretz Yisrael is the center of the nation of Israel even when we're in exile. Vashruyim ba begalut hema suvlim yisurinu machovim rabim, and those who are living those who exile themselves from their place to go, Rav Kook is writing this at the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century, before he came to Israel, and most of the people who came to live in the land of Israel were poor people who came to die in Israel. And they were self-sacrificing their physical pleasure, and they were supported by Kupat Meir Balanes. They were by charity of the Jews from Europe, America, who would send to them. So if Kook is saying, and this is halacha lema'aseh, that aniyei Eretz Yisrael, the poor people of Eretz Yisrael, precede the poor people of other cities. Rav Kook is beautifully tying it in here with the idea of wealth, tzedakah, what to do with your money, and here it is. V'tzarich kol ish ashir ba'am Hashem, every wealthy person in God's holy nation, lifashet anfei tzidkato, to send the branches of shade of his donations, alachinu yoshvei Eretz Yisrael, hacholim v'amu'unim lo dedam ulchazkam, that those people who come to the land of Israel, whose standard of living is lower, we Jews who are in Chutz La'aretz, he's talking at the time, we have an obligation. They are our messengers. They're representing us. They're building and reviving the land of Israel for all of us, for the future of the people. And it's our obligation to send money to them as well, to use our wealth for the national future. Leman yirbu ha'yishuv, so that they can build the land, v'titkonen yoter yeshivat Eretz Yisrael, that the land of Israel should flourish. Klal hadavar, this is the rule. She'im shebichlal tchunat ha'shimush ba'atzlacha tzarich shetiyah tava lakol, that the more wealth that you have, the more you should aid other people, also individuals, but the nation as a whole, and its Torah, and its land, the land of Israel, and those who live in the land of Israel, and the state of Israel. Kehad de madlin alfum chanuta. Mikom akom, hatzfiyah hikarit tzricha liyot tovat haklal, betor ikar umerkaz ruchaniyut ha'uma kedushata, v'torat Eretz Yisrael asher bekirvah. It is true that it's good to give shade and help individual Jews wherever they may live. But don't forget the sick in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Gemara is saying. The sick in Eretz Yisrael get pleasure from her branches. Uvetor hit pashtut, right? The branches which spread out, not only from where you live, but to the land of Israel, harchava bikamut lichazek nefilat Eretz Yisrael v'chulshah. To help revive the fallen land of Israel, the hungry land of Israel. This is a permanent mitzvah in all generations. We don't have time. I want to finish. We don't have time to read. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya Siman Reish Nun Aleph Seif Gimel, it says that in fact charity begins at home. If your parents or children need money, your brother, they come first. Afterwards, Aniye Ircha, the poor people of your city. Afterwards is Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael, Kodmin Yoshvei Chutz La'aretz. They precede those who live outside the land of Israel. How much and at what expense? Everyone should ask their local rabbi to find it. But we see here that even before there was a state of Israel, when Rabbi Yosef Karo was running this 500 years ago, and the Gemara paskins it, 1800 years ago, the land of Israel, even when most of the Jews were in exile, you're meant to donate a lot to the land. Because that is not donating to an individual poor person, is not donating to a charity, which includes a lot of individuals, but it is the nation. And just like when you invest in the Torah, investing in the land of Israel is investing in the future. And that's something, which you build a Torah institution in the land of Israel, the nation of Israel is going to benefit even 100, maybe even 500 years from now. And that's something to keep in mind. In other words, wealth is something good, but as we saw, not in the way that most people think that it's going to bring them pleasure. It definitely brings pleasure, but
how you use it.
A different kind of pleasure. How to give to others.